Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 53rd voyage. I'm the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Jin Dobre.
So for those of you who are new here, what we do is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week and we wander the waters of the weird, yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
The last few weeks, Alan, you've gone away from, like, different English ways of saying hello, and now you're just going through all the different languages. What was this week's language?
That was Polish.
Oh, Polish. Like the sausage. Yeah.
Yes. Also spelt like Polish.
I'm sure they love that. I did have an awkward moment with a neighbor. Actually, not with a neighbor this week, Alan. I had an awkward moment where I did not know how to react because of a neighbor. Let me explain.
Good, because I'm confused.
We grew up in the suburbs, really. Well, I did. You kind of grew up everywhere. But
yes.
I grew up mostly in the suburbs, and you don't talk to your neighbors. Like, you barely make eye contact with your neighbors. Unless you're our aunt who talks to all of her neighbors and is basically, like, the mother of the entire neighborhood.
How many people do you make eye contact with?
Most, except if they're my neighbors.
Okay.
Then I go out of my way to not make eye contact with them. So, my son, your nephew, had his first basketball practice this week.
Sure, probably went
and
great.
And it snowed. It snowed a lot. But rather than shovel the snow before his basketball practice, we went to the basketball practice. Then I said, we're going to go home and shovel the snow. He was all cool with that. We come home, and our driveway, someone has shoveled our entire driveway. And there are tracks, like wheel tracks in it, that are similar to my neighbor, you may remember from last summer, who I talked to for the first time. We said like three words to each other, which is the first time we had spoken in the 3 years that I've lived at this place.
Of course.
So presumably he took his snowblower and very graciously did my entire driveway.
Wow.
I had no idea how to react, and he wasn't there for me to thank. Like, he wasn't outside anymore. So I was like, I literally texted my friend. I'm like, what do you do in this situation? Like, do I give him a
do
hug?
Do I make him a cake?
Like, I'm very confused. Do I need to go, like, we're going to be talking about Tim Hortons in a little bit. Do I need to buy him a Tim Hortons gift certificate? I was like, is $20 enough? And she's like, that seems like overkill. You should just walk over and say thank you. I was like, ah. But he didn't leave a note saying it was him. So am I being presumptuous and thinking it was him?
The tracks lead back to his house, but how do I know he's not just taking credit for somebody else's work?
I'm not the best sleuth, Alan. That's just something else I am not good at. So anyway,
English and sleuthing.
Not English, Polish. I guess, no, it was English. Yeah, spelling in English. You're right.
Well, yeah, you're excellent at Polish.
I'm great at Polish. So I walked over. As luck would have it, no one in his family was home either. They were all gone. So now I'm like, I have no idea what to do. So then I went home and wrote him a note and signed it Holt, but I don't know if he even knows my name. And then I happened to have a gift card to a local restaurant for $20 that someone gave me like a year ago.
Oh, nice. Regifting.
So I put that in with the note and stuck it to his door. I hope he understands that I'm grateful. I didn't have a chance to hug him yet, though, so.
Oh, well, next time.
Next time.
Although, if you're paying this guy like $20 every time he snow blows your driveway.
I'm going to be out a lot of money.
I mean, that's reason for me to snow blow somebody's driveway. Like, I don't think it actually takes that much effort to snow blow a driveway.
Yeah.
It's not like you're actually shoveling.
I feel like snow blowing, you should be paid less than if you're doing it with an actual shovel.
Yeah, I agree.
And I have a weird story that ends in accidental racism that I thought you would enjoy, but not by me. It was directed at me, and it was definitely accidental by this lady. So we were talking at work the other day, and one of the assistants said, Holt, you know what, I've always thought you looked like Rami Malek.
And I was, he's like, Egyptian.
I was like, no, I do not. He is weird looking. Like, you may like him, but he's not hot. Like, he's not sexy. He's interesting looking. I will give him that.
So your immediate like defensiveness was because you don't think this guy's attractive, and you're like, well, I am attractive.
Yeah, he's
so
not
I
as attractive
like
as I am. Like, he's interesting. He's not ugly, but he's not hot. Like,
he's fun shaped.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, he's interesting to look at, but he's not me. Like, I'm a pleasure to look at. And everyone, no one disagreed, but they all came back with, but he's an amazing actor. How does that affect me?
Wait,
I am not an amazing actor.
Did nobody disagree that he's interesting looking, or did nobody not disagree that
Let's
you're
put
attractive?
It this way. No one put up a fight saying he was good looking, which hurt my feelings, because if they think I look like him, then they're saying I am not good looking. Anyway, that's not even that's just an aside. I do not look like Rami Malek, though I have gotten Egyptian many, many times, and ironically, one of my best friends growing up was an Egyptian guy named Rami, but it was not Rami Malek. Anyway, so we're in the middle of this conversation, and the Muslim guy at work, the one Muslim guy walked by, whose name is Omar, and I was like, Omar, man, what do you think? Do I look like Rami Malek? And he said, didn't even break stride. He goes, yes, definitely. And kept walking. And then I started walking back to my office beside him. And the new girl in the office was like, Omar, come here. And so I'm like, Omar, she wants you. And he goes back and she goes, oh, no, I asked for Omar. And he looks confused. And then I walk back and I go, do you mean me? She's like, yeah, you're Omar, right? I'm like, I'm Holt. This guy is Omar. And he's like, what did you think my name was? And you have to hand it to her. She came out with it. She did not try to make an excuse. She didn't try. She goes, in all honesty, I'm embarrassed. I just knew one of your names was Omar. And I took a shot and thought it was you. I was like, so there's me who... I'm not really anything other than white. I'm like off-white, but yeah. I'm not pale like 90% of everyone else in Canada. not Canada, but in our particular part of Canada.
Yes.
And then there's Omar, who's the one brown guy. It's like, I'll take a shot. One of you non-white people is named Omar. Like, I don't know which one it is, but one of you is Omar. And so now we've started calling, him and I have started calling each other Omar 1 and Omar 2.
Well, I can't say that I have any interesting stories like that. Unfortunately, I am very white. So.
Yeah, you're much whiter than I am.
Yeah, it's almost different colors. I would never get confused with Omar.
And if you think that was fascinating, let's move into some fascinating facts about our world. So what we do here is very simple. I surprise Alan with some fascinating facts about our world. Up first, Alan, did you know that Frank Sinatra died the same night that Seinfeld ended?
I did not. Is there some kind of connection to that?
May 14th, 1998.
That's the date.
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that because as that's written, okay, boring. The interesting part is that while he still died, he made it from his house to the hospital in record time because the notoriously terrible Los Angeles traffic was actually, the streets were almost deserted because so many people were at home watching the finale of Seinfeld.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting because you and I were talking about Seinfeld the other day about should we do a Seinfeld podcast because neither of us like Seinfeld at all and don't get why people find it funny. So maybe it'd be an interesting thing. And we decided, no, because Seinfeld sucks. We don't want to put ourselves through that pain. Get at me, Jerry Seinfeld.
Or even worse, we might accidentally end up liking it. And.
Yeah, we don't need another show to like. So yeah, that's a quick one. I just thought it was interesting. You and I have driven through LA. It is very congested.
Mm-hmm.
So all we need is a major show to be ending. But that could never happen anymore, because all the major shows would be ending on like Netflix, and they'd all be watching them at different times.
True. Netflix ruining our lives again.
Thanks, Netflix. Next up, the circulatory system is more than 60,000 miles or 96,560 kilometers long.
That's hard to believe it all fits in one body.
Well, what's crazy about that is actually a child's body. That's their veins, arteries, and capillaries. If they were laid out flat, it would stretch for more than 60,000 miles, according to the Franklin Institute. By the time we reach adulthood, it's 100,000 miles, or 160,934 kilometers.
That's crazy. That's all inside you, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah, if it is out of you, you better hope there's no traffic. German chocolate cake was invented in Texas.
Oh, that's not very German at all.
No, so it gets its name because...
Is there a town in Texas called Germany?
No, it's weird. So it's called German chocolate cake because the chocolate used was German chocolate.
Oh.
Because it's named after Sam German, who in 1852 created the formula for mild dark baking chocolate. And then it was made by Baker's Chocolate Company, so they named it after the guy who invented it, Sam German. And then the first recipe for this type of chocolate cake didn't appear until 1957 in the Dallas Morning Star, which happens to be in Texas.
That's a ride. I was not expecting that.
No, me neither. Hence why it is a fascinating fact.
Very fascinating. Perhaps the most fascinating so far.
Okay, don't be talking down about my previous two facts, Alan.
I'm not. I'm just speaking up about this one.
What does SPAM stand for?
Sweaty processed American meat.
You know what? That's actually close to the common answer. So the answer that most people think of is scientifically processed animal matter, which has been the reported meaning of it. But it actually is very simple. It stands for spiced ham, which I wouldn't think of. It's weird thinking it's even ham.
I've never had it.
You've never had it?
No.
Even when you were in Hawaii, you didn't have it?
No, I did not. I actively avoided it.
Oh, is it difficult to avoid it when it's in Hawaii?
It's actually everywhere in Hawaii.
Did you know, Alan, Japan has one vending machine for every 23 people?
I did not. That seems like...
excessive.
Yeah, like a lot. I was debating if it seemed like a lot or not very many.
Well, I'm pretty sure they have about the same population as Canada, except substantially smaller. So that would be like, what do we have, 35 million people? That's what, 1.5 million vending machines?
It's a lot of vending machines.
And I thought I would do some research and hit you
with... Oh, don't they have a lot of weird vending machines, though?
Yes, I'm hitting you with the weirdest vending machines I could find. The first one is a puppy vending machine.
With real, like, live puppies in it?
Yeah, real puppies. They're in, like... It actually is quite cute. They have, like, toys and stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's not great for...
Seems dangerous.
Yeah, but they're in, like, little crates. And for 10,000 yen, you can buy a puppy. You just pick whichever one you want, put in your credit card, the door opens, and you can grab your puppy.
Whoa, how much is 10,000 yen?
I knew you were going to ask, but I forgot to check. So let me check.
I need to know where to go to get cheap puppies.
I'll do to US dollar, because most people know their current exchange rate to US dollar. Wow, that's expensive. $87 US.
For a puppy? That seems not bad at all.
Yeah, but we don't know. Do they have their shots? It's 110 Canadian.
I would assume so.
You would assume they're just grab and go they're just grab and go puppies. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just ready to go. Everything's built in.
I would hope so. There's also an umbrella vending machine. For those times where it's super rainy and you're just like, no!
That seems useless, except for like once in your life. It'll be like, oh man, it's raining and I don't have my umbrella. Oh, I happen to be I'm sure there aren't tons of those.
A tie vending machine. For those moments where you're like, oh no, I forgot a tie, but I got completely dressed.
I was thinking Thai food.
No, it's literally a tie, like a necktie. I wonder what kind of quality it is.
Probably about as good as the puppy.
The next two are my favorite. Canned bread, which I have no idea what it is, but judging from the picture, it literally looks like a soup can, but when you open it, a loaf of bread pops out.
It pops out? Is it like one of the snake cans?
No, but I assume it expands when you open the can, and then you can pull out the loaf of bread. And what's interesting is this is apparently a popular treat in Japan. You can buy strawberry canned bread, chocolate canned bread, green tea canned bread, butter flavored canned bread, the so far the only normal one, raisin flavored canned bread, and my favorite, milk flavored canned bread.
This doesn't sound like a real thing.
Milk bread. And my second favorite, you can buy something called Boss Coffee, which is like coffee. I didn't check if it was like coffee grounds or pre-made coffee drinks, but for some weird reason, it's endorsed by Tommy Lee Jones. So his face is like all over the can and all over the... It just looks like Tommy Lee Jones coffee. But apparently he's paid $1 million every 6 months to be the Japanese endorsement person for Boss Coffee. But that nowhere else, not in North America, only in Japan. And the last one I found is business cards. Now that one doesn't sound that weird. I mean, other than the fact it's customized business cards. Like you type in your information and it makes you business cards from the vending machine. But in looking at that, it turns out that business cards in Japan are like a sacred thing. Like they have a whole ceremony for giving someone your business card. There's a way you have to do it and how you have to kneel and you present it with both hands and stuff. Oh. As opposed to the rest of the world, it's just like, here's my business card. Like, yeah. People throw them out like they're throwing out money at a strip club. Like, it's like, here you go, here you go, here you go.
I mean, we literally put them in boxes just to hope to win things.
Where Japan, apparently, they take it very, very seriously.
Yeah.
Couple more here, Alan. This one's quick. Did you know that lemons float, but limes sink?
I did not.
Interesting, right?
I don't know what to do with that information, but I'm intrigued. Just
moving on. Chicago's nickname has nothing to do with the weather. So do you know the nickname of Chicago, Alan?
Oh, the Windy City.
Yes. It was coined that by 19th century journalists who were referring to the fact that all of its residents were windbags and full of hot air.
Oh, interesting.
Weird, right?
I feel like the places we live are much windier than Chicago. Not that I've been to Chicago.
I don't know. We'll have to ask. Our cousin just moved to Chicago, so we'll ask him.
Oh, true.
Well, that was enough fascinating facts, Alan. Let's find out what's happened this week in the news. First up this week, Alan, comes from our friends at Food Beast.
Oh, your favorite.
That is my favorite. Justin Bieber and Tim Hortons partner up to debut Tim Biebs Timbits. So for those of you who don't know what Timbits are, they're just donut holes.
Yeah.
Just donut holes at Tim Hortons. They call them Timbits. And they've made a deal with Justin Bieber to have some Justin Bieber branded donuts, I guess, in three flavors. Birthday cake waffle, chocolate white fudge, and sour cream chocolate chip.
Well, that sounds right up your alley.
They all sound amazing. I love Justin Bieber, and now he's seemingly made the perfect... Not that he's in there making them, but if he was, even better. Don't they sound delicious?
I can't eat any of them. So.
That's not true. I looked it up. Every single Timbit may contain egg, but only two of them actually contain egg.
Well... Have I told you the story of the last time I went to Tim Hortons?
No, I looked it up specifically so we could do a taste test next time we're in town.
Last time I went to Tim Hortons, I said, hey, what would you recommend for somebody who can't eat eggs? And they said, I'd recommend you eat somewhere else.
Oh, it's true. Their menu, everything other than the drinks, may contain egg. Even like the chili.
Their chili isn't even that good. Wendy's chili, on the other hand.
So I guess, well, then I don't have to wait till I see you next. So they come out, this is dropping, what, the 1st of December? So they'll have been out a couple days by that point. I will try for next week's episode to have a live taste test of the Tim Biebs Timbits. And I'll even see about bringing my son in on it. And he can make his first appearance and he'll let you know if they're good or not.
Well, I'll look forward to it.
But the biggest thing, I don't know if you read this in the article, Alan, they have a line of merch, as all these collaborations do. And did you take a look at what the featured item in the merch is?
I didn't. There wasn't a link.
A fanny pack!
Ooh. It's right up my alley.
I know, I had already bought your Christmas gift. I'm so annoyed. I was like, oh no! So if anyone wants to get Alan a Christmas gift this year, he would love a Tim Biebs branded... fanny pack because his black leather one is shoddy now. It looks like it's crap true. Compared to the Tim Biebs.
Alternatively, the A&W one.
That one's probably better quality. It's like $400.
Real good quality.
Next up, Alan, comes from our friends at themirror.co.uk. I sent Taylor Swift lyrics to my ex as a prank. It turned out life-changing.
Spoiler alert, it was not life-changing.
No, spoiler alert, it seems, it seems like, reading between the lines, like, she may have been played again by this guy?
Yeah. I have not seen this trend.
Yeah, I have not seen, I didn't know this was a thing, it doesn't surprise me it's a thing, but apparently it's something girls are doing, where they take random lyrics from Taylor Swift and text them to an ex, and then see what the ex says.
I would be terribly confused.
I would too.
Depending on the song. There's some songs I'd be like, really?
If it was
anything. We were both young when you first saw me. Seems pretty suspect.
Yeah, if it was anything before Lover, her Lover album, I would know that it's Taylor Swift.
Yes.
True. I haven't listened to as many because I'm old and have a child now, so I don't have time to listen to as much Taylor Swift.
And her music has change styles.
Yeah, I will say it's not as fun. It's still good. It's still well written, but it's not as fun. Anyway, so this TikToker, Lale Corasandi, sent these lyrics to her ex, who she described as the one who got away. She said, "Please don't be in love with someone else." And he responded with, "Wrong person," as in, "Are you texting? Did you mean
new
to
phone?
Text
who
me?
Dis?"
Yeah, and she said, "Please don't have somebody waiting on you." Another Taylor Swift lyric, which then, now this guy is super surprised. And then, rather than getting mad, this boyfriend or ex-boyfriend says, "Where are you? Can I come to you? I couldn't say it before it. I'm sorry, but I've always loved you." Which, okay, that's a big leap.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking he's thinking that, oh, she's wanting me right now.
She's back.
Yeah. And so basically they went back and forth, and it all ends with them going on a couple dates, and then conveniently, just before she texted him, he said,
"How unfortunate."
He took a job that has him moving away. So, oh, we can't be together, but she says it's nice to have closure. In my view, what I think happened, they hooked up a few more times, and then he moved away, or says he moved away.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a job in Canada. I'm not gonna...
Sorry, I gotta go get some Tim Biebs. Next up, Alan, comes from our dear, dear friends at Fox News. Colorado man sets mom's house ablaze trying to clear cobwebs with a blowtorch.
Is that even an overreaction?
My favorite part about this is that they state that he was clearing the cobwebs in the crawl space with a blowtorch and lit it on fire, and then tried to put it out for an hour by himself before calling the fire station, which is amazing because you know he's like, "Oh, this is embarrassing. I can't let the firemen know I did this. Ah, I got to," like he's like trying to cover his tracks and then just made it worse. And who knew spider webs were so flammable?
Most people, I would assume. This is something you hear people joke about, right? Like if there's a big enough... I mean, maybe you don't, but I've heard people...
Oh, if there's an actual spider, it's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just burn the house down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh, he literally did. I didn't even think of that.
But I'm not one of those people. Like, spiders don't bother me that much.
No, not really. I mean, larger
I'm
ones...
I'm much bigger than... Well, yeah, okay, I guess larger spiders.
We're not
I'm
in a climate
spiders.
Where we have giant ones. Like, the yes. largest ones we have are, like... the size of a dollar coin or something. Like,
yes, and you know what's larger than that? My shoe.
So. Yeah. The police were called because of the fire, but it turns out he wasn't actually allowed to be at his mom's house because she has like a restraining order against him. So they have a whole backstory. And turns out, I guess he was like a drug dealer or something because he has a bunch. he was caught with a bunch of meth on him. So not only did he get charged with attempted or first degree arson or something, he also got charged with possession of meth.
Oh, Colorado man.
And our last story this week, Alan, is from one of my other favorites, Audie. Chinese man banned from buffet for eating too much. Anyway, so this is like a real life Simpsons movie. So there's that, or Simpsons episode. Like, there's that one where Homer goes to that all-you-can-eat seafood buffet and they kick him out because he eats too much because he's so fat. This actually happens here.
All-you-can-eat.
Yeah. And that's actually what happened to this guy. He basically kept coming back to the same buffet, and eventually the owner banned him for life and kicked him out because he eats too much.
Well, I mean, you gotta have your...
You gotta have your limits. To me, I am 100% on the owner's side of this.
Me too.
Because this is a guy who is given an inch and he takes a mile.
Yeah.
Like, as they say, he doesn't just, like, take one or two of something. He grabs the entire tray and eats the entire tray of multiple items. That's straight up gluttony.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody needs that much food.
Yeah, it's like youth sports. Is there a technical rule for how much you should beat a team by? No, but they've implemented this, hey, once you're up by 5 or 6 points or whatever, or basketball, once you're up by 30 points, we'll just call the game. Because we all are trying to be decent people. So this guy's trying to make a living. If he's...
He was losing... There's a quote from the unrevealed business
owner. He refused to name himself.
That says he loses like something like $80 of food every time this guy comes in.
Yeah, I guess he loses $80 compared to what the guy pays. But
yeah,
that to me, I wouldn't have admitted that, because that to me is like, okay, you lose $80 for one guy.
Yeah, but how often is this guy coming in is the question.
I mean,
that's where it starts becoming a problem.
At the same point, as someone who does marketing, I may use this guy. Right? Like, I may be like, that may be my social media. Like, if you're going to still eat here, we're going to film you eating all this stuff. Because there are lots of videos online of people eating lots of stuff that have millions of views. So if
it could be a challenge.
Yeah. Like, see if you can beat this guy. And if you can't, you pay $200, you know?
If it's a challenge. If you can beat him, he'll pay for both bills. But if you beat him, or... He
you have to
you.
Pay
you
for all
pay
the
for
food
his
he eats.
Food.
You have to pay for the food he eats, not just how much.
That way, this guy's probably not paying for his food, and neither's the owner.
Yeah, like to me, they're a little both in the wrong. The owner's a little bit cheap, but this guy's clearly taking advantage of the situation to be a glutton, which is just come on, man. You have
so
to.
So you're
be
just
full.
Saying you're just saying that he, the owner, should take advantage of being taken advantage of.
Yes. If you're both being taken advantage of, nobody's being taken advantage of.
Those are words.
That's science. We're just about to dock here and end our 53rd episode, but before we do, we want to remind you, tell your friends, tell your family, let's build this random ship family. Check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast, or hit us up on email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to be a contestant on Calling Countdown, just hit us up at that email. Alan, before we go though, what is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... The smallest ships in the American Navy are the Boomin' Beaver security tugs.
Ooh, I like that.
Measuring in at 19 feet long, for reference, that's about the same size or length, I guess, as a Ford F-150.
Oh, that's tiny.
It is. These small, all-purpose vessels are used to tow small boats or to move floating security fences to keep other people away from the larger ships or submarines.
What? The thing I'm taking away from this is when there's like aircraft carriers in the ocean, there's other boats that have floating fences that wall off the big boat?
Unless I'm mistaken, this is for, like, boats that are in harbor.
Oh, it's not, like, in motion with, like, a security fence around it.
No.
Okay.
I do not believe so.
Okay.
That seems like it would be much harder to coordinate.
Yes, it's much more clear in my head now. As always, thank you, everyone, so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. Spoiler alert, it was not life-changing.